May I preach in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the most difficult theological concepts to comprehend, I believe, is that of a call or a calling, that God calls us to a specific vocation. Most Christians can accept the idea that priests and other church professionals have received some sort of a call. Why otherwise we want to do this? Yet few Christians understand that the Holy Spirit moves in their lives in a similar way to a priest and calls them also to some sort of a vocation. Today we read the story of the prophet Samuel's call. In doing so, we learn a great deal about how God moves in our lives and calls us. I doubt that Samuel realized just what was in store for him as he began his service of God in the temple with Eli. No doubt it began as a fairly simple routine of lessons and chores with plenty of time for games. As a child, he would have been looked after by many people who worked and lived in the temple precincts. You can imagine the way they might have responded when they saw him wandering around, knowing that his family has gone home and left him in the care of Eli and other priests. The community would have pulled together to care for him the way religious communities should. But as he grew older, the lessons and training have increased. The time for play would have diminished. His calling as a lifetime servant of God meant that he had much to learn. But in fact, it wasn't the lessons of Eli and his signs that would shape him and shape his calling. It was the voice of God. And that shaping would happen in a very short time in the dark of night. God was about to give him the first of many messages for his people. Samuel was about to become the first prophet in Israel since the days of Moses. We are told at this episode, as this episode begins, that the word of the Lord was rare in those days and the visions were not widespread. What was about to happen to Samuel was totally out of the ordinary. He was about to be given a message from the Lord that would highlight in the clearest of ways the seriousness of his role as a prophet of God. His mother Hannah, we are told in chapter 2, now has 5 children. God has blessed her and given her other children to take the place of Samuel. So we can guess that Samuel might be around the age of 10 to 12 at this time. He's still a boy, but growing up. Samuel is sleeping in the tabernacle court just outside of the Holy of Holies, where the ark was kept. It's in the middle of the night. The lamp that was lit at night, that allowed to burn until the oil ran out just before daybreak, is still alight. A voice calls out to Samuel and wakes him. He thinks it's Eli, so he runs to see what he might want. I guess he would have been used to being called on to help Eli with things that his failing eyesight made it difficult to do. But it wasn't Eli who had called. So Eli sends him back to bed. This happens the second time before Eli realizes that it isn't just Samuel's imagining noises in the night. It must be God calling. So he tells Samuel, go back and lie down. And if God calls again, You should say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This time we are told God comes and stands there and calls, "Samuel, Samuel." Well, finally Samuel has worked out what's happening. So he responds as Eli has suggested. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And so God delivers the message. But before we look at the message, we need to think about the significance of God speaking to Samuel with his message, which is actually for Eli, rather than speaking to Eli directly. There are probably two reasons. In fact, the first, he speaks to Samuel rather than Eli, because Eli's inaction, as well as we'll see in a moment, has meant that he has lost God's favor. God is not going to speak to him. Rather, God uses an intermediary. And secondly, God speaks to Samuel is a sign that Samuel does enjoy the favor of God. Samuel is God's chosen spokesperson, his mouthpiece. A new order is being inaugurated at this moment, as God chooses out Samuel to act as his prophet, to bring his words to the people of Israel in a new and fresh way. And so God speaks his message. The call to Samuel came at night. I know night has been given a bad rap. It's the time of boogeymen, violent attacks, and scary storm. It seems like anything that is bad that needs to happen waits for the dawn and the light to go, and it happens. The nighttime hours are also a time of quiet, of reflection, and listening. I like the New Zealand prayer book, Night Prayer, that they use at the Compline. And this is one of the most, I think, powerful prayers that I've had for Compline. And it goes this way: "Lord, it is night. The night is for stillness. Let us be still in the presence of God. It is night after a long day. What has been done has been done. What has not been done has not been done. Let it be. The night is dark. Let our fears of the darkness of the world and our own lives rest in you. The night is quiet. Let the quietness of your peace enfold us, all dear to us, and all who have no peace. The night heralds the dawn. Let us look expectantly to a new day, new joys, new possibilities." And it ends, says, "Let it be." Samuel had to be quiet in order to hear the voice of the Lord. If we are to hear the voice of the Lord and hear our own calling, it is necessary for us to turn off the radios, the television, our computers, and log out of our social media feeds. The Lord called Samuel to a specific task. Samuel was faithfully obedient to the Lord and to the call he had been given. Samuel came to be known as a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. Not all of Israel's problems were solved because now there is a new prophet. Israel continued to be a rebellious nation, but the people did hear the word of the Lord through Samuel, who was faithful to his call. Every one of us has received a call at the time of our baptism. God has called each and every one of us by name and proclaimed that we are his children and God is pleased with us. We have been adopted into God's family and called to be followers, the disciples of Christ. God also has a specific call for us. God calls some us into the ministry of the ordained, some to be teachers, some firefighters, some law enforcers, some health practitioners, parents, innovators, caregivers, wealth creators and wealth distributors, interpreters of the law, artists, an array of vocations. Hearing God call and answering it gives us a sense of identity and a sense of purpose. So what is your call? What has God called you to do and to be? Not only in this parish, not only in this state, not only in your country, but in the world. Have you heard God calling you in the night, or in the day, or in the randomness of everyday living? Have you answered the call and know that you are where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do? And let me tell you that it is no coincidence that you are at this place, at this time, at this moment. Our nations and our world needs to hear the word of God. The only way that is going to happen, it is through our actions and deeds. We all have a call. Mine might not be like yours, but you have a call too. Let us be true to that call and honor the Lord in our lives. Amen.